Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Thursday afternoon, everyone. Great to have you with us on the Steve Jones Show. Beautiful Sunbury Motors Studios, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilshire's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilshire's General Store. Go to www.hilshirestore.com. Great to have you with us. It was great to be in Sunbury yesterday and in Sealands Grove yesterday, even though the tournament got cut short. We're going to be back on June 5th to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA and, again, go out and play golf to benefit the kids, and we'll do that on June 5th. And you can still get involved. It really is a second chance. There are actually 47 teams signed up. Two spots are available for the afternoon flight, and morning spots are available as well. And June 5th, let's face it, more time that we can buy to play a tournament like that. We won't worry so much about the rain, I don't think. I'm sure we're expecting it to be a beautiful day, and you can be a part of that. And we'll take the show out there on June 5th as well. Coming up later today, Lee Gordon. His job is to tutor and educate young people coming out of college and going to the NFL on how to handle the media, how to handle a combine interview, and how to present themselves and really brand themselves. We'll be talking with Lee Gordon at 3:35. Tomorrow, also, John Schaefer will join us from the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs to talk about the Phillies AAA affiliate and what is on the farm. Before we get to any of that, it's time now for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
Sunbury Motors is having their 65th annual new Ford truck sale.
65 years of saving.
Choose from over 160 new trucks with savings up to $11,000. The number one selling truck in the world for 36 consecutive years is the Ford F-150. And Sunbury Motors has them on sale as low as $20,954. SMC has a huge selection of hardworking Super Duty trucks, including Super Cabs, Crew Cabs, Diesels, and Duallys. Sunbury Motors has over 40 of the totally redesigned 2013 Ford Escape, starting from just $20,975. The hot-selling 2013 Ford Explorer is slashed $3,300, with 4x4s priced as low as $29,930. This is Central PA's largest truck sale of the year. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors in the 4th Street Auto Plaza during this unprecedented 65th annual May New Truck Sale. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley for almost a century. Hurry before someone gets your truck.
Hey, won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song?
This is about the umpires last night?
Of course.
That was a disgrace.
How can you get it wrong when you have video replay?
Well, look, I've seen it, so it's not. Come on, I've seen two. I can tell you right now, two plays off the top of my head right now involving Penn State football that were wrong. And one of them, I'm actually glad in hindsight it happened, because in the end, Penn State won the game. And it allows me to talk about a call that Penn State got that they got wrong, because the one thing you don't want to do when you do these things is to come off like you're a homer. You know what I mean? So when I talk about the Nebraska call, I don't want people to sit back and say, well, he's only saying that because he's Penn State's announcer. You know what I mean?
No, I understand. But
And the Nebraska call was wrong on Lehman at the goal line. It was wrong. But the officials on the replay, they totally botched it.
But again, that's what replay is for. How can you still miss it? I mean, are they not getting the same replays that you get on television? Is it a different replay?
They get the exact same ones we get.
Okay, and if you go and do it frame by frame, as they did last night, and I watched it, and by the way, you can watch it as well. Just go to stevejonesshow.com and click on our story. You can actually see where the ball is over the yellow line.
It's not just over the yellow line. It's way over the yellow line.
Well, it's not, yeah. I mean, and you know me. I defend umpires how often? Just last week, as a matter of fact.
It's all you do.
This was bad. This was bad, and it does not help the umpire situation right now in Major League Baseball that seems to be under a little bit of a microscope right now.
Well, exactly. And again, I go through and I listen. I watch this. I had to take a look at it this morning because I couldn't watch it last night because of how late I got back. Almost 1,000 people in Scranton, by the way.
Yeah, it was a great turnout last night.
Yeah. And I look at this call. I finally watched it this morning. I'm thinking to myself, how do you get that wrong?
I don't know.
The layman play at the goal line, you really have to go frame by frame to make sure he still has it, okay? The Nick Suke play against Purdue is just a bad call. He trapped the ball. Suke trapped the ball. Helped Penn State. And as you know, on the replays, fans look up at the booth to find out what Jack and I think. We have to do the old gladiator thumbs up, thumbs down thing.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's funny. Oh, yeah. That's funny.
I mean, all these people will look up at us to see, because we have...
Well, you have the monitor. Have the
TV in the booth.
Right.
And on Suke's, we're like thumbs down. It's going to be Purdue ball first down at the 18-yard line. We're pretty definitive about it. Nope. Upheld.
Let's see, let's see what the statement is from Major League Baseball. By rule, the decision to reverse a call by use of instant replay is at the sole discretion of the crew chief. In the opinion of Angel Hernandez, who was the crew chief last night, there was not clear and convincing evidence to overturn the decision on the field. It was a judgment call, and such it stands final.
Well, I understand that part. So what?
Home and
away, still screwed it up.
Right. Home and away broadcast feeds are available for all uses of instant replay, and they were available to the crew last night. Given what we saw, this is Major League Baseball's rest of the statement. Given what we saw, we recognize that an improper call was made. Perfection is an impossible standard in any endeavor, but our goal is to always get the calls right. Earlier this morning, we began the process of speaking with the crew thoroughly to review all the circumstances surrounding last night's decision. Now, let me summarize those two paragraphs. Oops. There you go.
About what it comes down to.
Oops.
That was awful. Look, in real time, umpire running out to get in position to make that call. In real time, that's a hard call.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
Yep, no question about it. No question about it. But this is what replay was supposed to do to avoid. This is why replay is there. And I know I've seen the same mistakes made in football with replay. But here's the problem. In the mistakes that were made in football many times, not every time, but many times, are... because the camera angles aren't perfect. This is a pretty darn good camera angle. I mean, you're not going to get a much better camera angle unless the camera's sitting right where the ball's coming down.
Look, they blow it. Bob Melvin gets tossed. And he should,
Well, and I have no problem with him tossing him at the point. I mean, he was understandably upset.
He wanted to be tossed.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
He just, look, I'd have been tossed. You'd have been tossed.
No question. There's no question.
Mild-mannered Buhner would have been tossed. Even Mark Mahoney.
Who's never argued anything in his life.
Ever. He would have been tossed. Drew Kelly? Drew Kelly would have been tossed before they even went back to review it.
He would have been tossed before the review request.
Before the review. Hey, let's take a look at it. Ah, yeah, I'm already out of the game.
No, I looked at it, and I, like you this morning, saw it and just went, wow.
I didn't get a chance to because it happened last night, and I got back at 12:30 in the morning. So my options about looking at it, I felt were pretty limited.
You were limited. I like I said, I heard about it this morning, went and watched it right away this morning, and I just even before the enhancement with the little zoom in box and the highlight around the ball, you could tell it was without all that it was still gone.
Man, I don't get it. I don't get how. That's why I think what they need to do is, number one, they need to do what the NHL does. Have it all centralized. Every NHL replay is in Toronto. Every one of them.
What? Explain that again for me, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
The NHL has replays on goals.
Okay, yeah, I know that. But it's not done in the arena?
No.
Really?
Everything is centralized in Toronto. Yes.
Wow. I did not know that. That blows my mind.
What, that the NHL is far more advanced in how it does it the Major League Baseball? Is that the part that blows your mind?
I thought that was all done in the arena.
No. In the NHL, every replay comes from Toronto.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Every one of them. I think, number one, they need to do that. I think you have separate, independent eyes looking at it and not the group that's working the game. This is an $8 billion a year industry.
Are you hinting to the fact that there's a few bucks available to pay somebody to watch the game from Toronto?
You better believe it. Now, I mean, I would centralize it in New York, whatever.
Right, right.
I'm just saying, in the NHL, it's done in Toronto. Every video replay is in Toronto. They have a feed of every game coming in, and they have people watching specifically those games.
Well, I'm okay with the way that the NFL does it as well. Don't they still have, somebody upstairs that
only in the final 2 minutes. Only
right,
in the final two minutes.
I understand.
I can't stand the referee going under the hood. I can't stand that.
Oh, I'm with you. I think it should be. I don't think it should be the final 2 minutes. It should be any time the review's from the booth.
I think college football's replay system is far superior to the NFL's. Far superior. In fact, I don't even think it's close. I think it's just a better system. It's not perfect, but it's a better system. And I think in baseball, they should give each manager two challenges in a game. Can't challenge balls and strikes, and then let them come out, challenge it, and then have, you know, and just go and just get it done.
Listen, I could have solved this problem with one simple thing. You have a laser beam that goes all the way around the outfield wall. That's about that's so many feet high. If it breaks the laser, it's a home run. Done. Now your mind's blown, isn't it?
You went to sleep at what time?
Earlier than you.
Wow. I expect something different while resting.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Safely ensconced in the Sunbury Motors Studio and off camera today.
Sadly.
Sunbury Motors, yeah, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roots 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hilster's General Store hotline open at 800-795-9565, powered by Hilster's General Store. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilsterstore.com. Fun time yesterday. Had a great time. Looking forward to returning June 5th. Question is, are you looking forward to having me back June 5th?
I think the better question is, are you going to wear a helmet this time?
I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be standing 50 yards behind you.
Never walk near the front of a person hitting a golf ball. Period. It's just
near
basic
what
golf.
What front? I was going to the cart on the side to get a club.
As you have so eloquently put it on this program many times, I slice the ball, so I'm starting left. But at least I still have the first tee.
It doesn't count anymore.
I was there. I saw it in a driving rain.
But it doesn't count.
It was right down the middle.
I know. We also needed a wood to get to the green. All right. Lee Gordon. Yeah, it was actually a very good shot. Is with 180 Communications. I may hire him to talk with Kevin on how to deal with media, social media, Facebook, Twitter.
Did he give you any tips?
No. Lee, welcome. It's great to have you on our show today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. This is one of the biggest transitions any young person is going to make, going from the extensive fishbowl that is major college football to the extensive fishbowl and even wider recognition that is professional football. So when you go in, what is the bullet point plan that you then go to then and you expand on it from there?
We try to let all of the athletes know, and many of them, as we say to them, and they hear this before, we say, you know, we're speaking to a room of 50, 100, 350. Only a small percentage of you, maybe the amount of my hand, are going to ever play professional sports. But all of you, at some point in your life, are going to interview for a job, whether it is in the NFL, the NBA, Delta Airlines, you know, Mrs. Fields Cookies, whatever it is, they're going to interview for a job at some point. And so what have they done with themselves while they're in college on two fronts? Number one, as a personal brand, and every time I tell them, you are a brand, you're the CEO of your own brand, and usually they'll look at you kind of funny, but after explaining to them that every single one of them is their own brand, and everything that they do sets themselves up. So when I go to buy something, or if I go to hire somebody, I'm hiring a brand. I want to hire a positive brand. I buy something that's a positive brand. I always use the example of Volvo. I have two young kids. I bought a Volvo because they told me it's the safest car on the road. Is it? I don't know. But they told me it is, so I bought into it. And then the social media part of it, which is the root of all evil for any administration in the country, because how do you monitor that many student athletes 24/7 when it's 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and they put something on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram or wherever it is, and letting them know that everything they do and everything they post on the internet is there to stay. And I can't tell you how many people I've interviewed and said, hey, what is this on your Facebook? I go straight to social media when we hire, and I know for a fact that the NFL does too.
Now, somebody that's not in the group that's gone through is Geno Smith, and one of the big complaints about him from those who sat down and talked with him is that he would be on his phone, whether it was Instagram, instant message, or was sending text messages. The importance of being locked in when you sit down to talk with a team or a coach, the importance and how high is that in your relevant scale of talking points?
You have to be locked in, but you also have to be cognizant of the world around you. You know, you have this image, and you're right, Geno Smith, his image right now is that of somebody who was aloof, somebody who was not involved, somebody who's not engaged. You look at some of the guys that we worked with, and some of the ones that some of those engaged athletes, the ones that are just loved in the NFL, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's. We had a chance to work with Marcus Lattimore, who was just what an amazing guy. I mean, I'm pulling for him on every level because he just eyes wide open, just engaged. You know, and it's kind of one of those things that there's a time and a place to be on your phone. There's a time and a place for Twitter and Facebook if you're using it the right way. But if you have this opportunity to have the ultimate job interview where they're going to pay you $20 million or $10 million, you know, just crazy money that many of us will never see in our lifetime, be engaged, be involved. You know, I mean, if somebody's going to offer me $10 million, they've got my attention. I'm not doing anything except listening to what they're having to say.
How difficult is it at times to break old habits and instill new ones?
You know, and that's a good question because that's always the big challenge for us is how do you, and we have to remember that they are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and that's exactly what they are. They are kids, and they've grown up in the Facebook and Twitter world. I didn't grow up in that world. A lot of us didn't grow up in that world where I didn't have that in college. It came after college. This is all they know. And when you're a student athlete at a university, you're in a different playing field. And as much as you don't want to think, you're in a different playing field. You're kind of in this bubble, and there are people on campus all the time, whether they are fans of your team, fans of somebody else, a reporter, that are trying to find something, trying to find a story, trying to get something. I always tell them, anybody with an iPhone is a reporter. You got to think of it that way. Anybody who has an iPhone can take a picture of you at a party, can take a video of you somewhere doing something, and can be on Facebook or Twitter before you can blink. And the quicker they realize that there are people out there doing that. Don't be scared of someone, but just understand the power that they have to influence and the power that it has to be a detriment to their brand. And once we start showing them examples of guys who do a really good job and ones who do a really poor job, that's when it starts to get to them. That's when they start saying, you know what, maybe I need to go clean things up. Maybe I need to go take down some of those pictures because I would hate to have worked my whole entire college career to get to this point only to have something I tweeted or put on Facebook ruin it for me.
We're with Lee Gordon with 180 Communications. In my business, our job, obviously, at times, now, you know, I do other things, play-by-play and so forth, but is to conduct interviews. And good interviews are ones in which you ask questions, get information, and feel like in the end the audience learned something. Now, you have at one end the Dennis Rodmans of the world. At the other end, as great as he is, I don't think you get a lot of information, for example, out of a Tom Brady. Very matter of fact, you know, kind of a flat interview for the most part. Is there a fine line between showing personality as you brand yourself and being too cautious?
Yeah, it's ironic that you mentioned because all of us have that background too. And I was a TV anchor for a long time, and it was always our job, you know, get the soundbite. And you know, when you get that soundbite, that something goes off in your head. You're like, that's it. There it is, right there. You know, and some of the greatest athletes, some of the greatest leaders in all of sports were not very good in the media, and maybe by their own choice. You mentioned Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, here's two of the best at their profession, and it's pulling straw. Greg Popovich is another one. I mean, there's that Sports Illustrated article last week or 2 weeks ago where he may have had three quotes in the entire article. You're trying to pull that tiny little piece of that nugget out of it. There's very few Michael Jordans and Peyton Mannings of the world, the very colorful, the very guys. And you try to say to these guys, listen, be quotable, you know, be out there, but don't be John Rocker. You know, don't be Dennis Rodman. Don't do the things that are going to make you famous for whatever it is that you don't want to be famous for that because that star is going to die eventually. That mist around you is going to die eventually. But if you've done a great job, you know, the Emmett Smith, and you're very colorful and you're animated, but not too animated. You know, you've got a lot of staying power and stay away from. You know, Michael Jordan's they always would knock him. He would never take a side, Republican or Democrat. And he always said, well, Republicans buy shoes too. You know, and that's brilliant. I mean, that's a brilliant answer because he, at the end of the day, is a business. He is a brand. And to alienate somebody by saying something that, that could be construed the wrong way, whether it's religion or political or anything like that, that's where they need to stay away from. Because, again, you could say some of the greatest things in your lifetime, but you say that one quote, that one thing, that's what's going to stick with you.
Exactly. And I remember interviewing Michael Jordan, and I remember afterwards someone said, you know, what was it like? What did you think? And I said, he knows exactly who he is and how to, how he presents himself.
He was the best at answering a question without answering a question that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've ever seen it. He knew exactly what he was going to say. He knew how he wanted to say it, and he had that smile and that, you know, that persona that who were we to doubt that? You know, we were just excited that he answered our question and didn't, you know, step on our face. I mean, he is the guy, if anybody can model themselves after, he just got it. And still, to this day, gets it. You know, you see him on camera, he still has that smile. And everything he's done, despite maybe some of the downfalls he's had, he's still on top of his game.
We're with Lee Gordon of 180 Communications. Lee, everyone comes with their own personality. So for you, is it one size fits all in terms of the advice you give, or do you adapt the presentation based on the personality you're dealing with?
You have to. You have to, because the worst thing that any of them can come out of there thinking is, I need to now go be fake. And that's the worst thing that if anybody takes that from what we're saying, that would be horrible. Because what I try to tell each one of them is, be yourself. Be yourself. Now, there's a be yourself, and then there's a be yourself. You know, don't. What you have to do is, we always kind of go through the ABCDs of being a brand. You know, you can't tell me that you're for safe driving and then go out tomorrow and get a DUI. You know, you can't go tell me that, you know, you don't do anything wrong and then all of a sudden here you are, you get arrested with something else. You know, be who you are in the media. If you're a funny person, be a funny person. Peyton Manning is the greatest example of who was he. You know, he'd won a Super Bowl, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and had no endorsement deals. Nobody would buy into the Peyton Manning brand because he was just kind of crotchety and just say he's always upset and flapping his arms and yelling at his offensive lineman. Just kind of nerdy, actually, for all intents and purposes. And then he goes up to SportsCenter and he does that spoof with Eli Manning, and they're kicking each other in the backside, and Archie Manning's looking at him. And from there, I mean, you can't turn on the TV for 20 minutes in a sporting event and not see Peyton Manning pitching something. You know, and he's on Saturday Night Live, and he's just reinvented himself as this funny guy. I don't look at Peyton Manning, and the few times I've been around him, I don't look at him, and I don't see Adam Sandler. You know, I don't see Chris Rock and Peyton Manning. But he has turned himself into one of the most likable athletes in all of sports because he's just focused himself on staying in his comfort zone. He's not somebody he's not. He's somebody who he is, maybe stretching it a little bit. But I never try to tell these guys, don't be somebody you are not. But let's see who you are, and let's figure out a way to make it sing.
You mentioned during that answer, Lee, about if you're funny, be funny. Yet, if there's an area where people do get in trouble, is sometimes stretching a sense of humor out a little bit. What is your advice on how far they should go expressing a sense of humor? Because not every joke fits every situation, or not every joke is found to be funny by people or offends some.
It's probably something we can all learn. I think we're all guilty of maybe taking a joke too far at time to time. You know, knowing the best thing that athletes can do, the ones who are so good at it, are the ones who know exactly that right time to drop in some humor. You know, you dropping humor at the expense of somebody, you cannot do. But if there's that opportunity, I don't look at Rick Pitino as a funny guy, but there was a press conference, it might have been this year, it might have been last year, where a reporter's phone rang in the middle of the press conference. And uncharacteristic of him, normally I would think that he would berate that reporter. Well, he took the phone and answered it and started talking to the person. That's funny. You know, that's something that you remember. Shaquille O'Neal is on the other spectrum. He was just, he didn't care. He was going to be funny, and if he offended you, then that's your problem. But he is such a unique athlete. There are very few and far between when it comes to that. But, you know the time and the place to interject some of that humor. But if you're doing it all the time, you're right. At some point, you're going to catch yourself, and you don't want to be that guy because, again, that's all anybody's going to remember.
Right. In fact, the Pitino incident was this year, as a matter of fact. It was this past season
where that happened.
And it was great. I mean, it was great TV. I mean, it was great for him. You know, it made you see it. I can't see Nick Saban doing it. Let's say that. I can't see Saban doing that.
You haven't lived, Lee, until you've been on a Nick Saban teleconference. believe me, there'll be no string. Nothing comes out of those things. And I had to go through a lot of those because he was at Michigan State for such a long time, and then of course Penn State played Alabama in back-to-back years.
And I was, you know, I've been kind of jaded by the whole thing because my entire career I worked with Bobby Bowden, who's the greatest of all time. He's as good as it comes to just a boy, pat you on the back, and, you know, the golly gee jokes, you know. And once he left, it's just, it was kind of that, whoa, what happened? You know, that I thought everybody was like him.
Exactly. I know, I want to take it back 4 or 5 years. For example, here at Penn State, freshmen have never been allowed to be interviewed at Penn State. I'm talking about freshman football players. Have not been allowed, whether it was Joe or now with Bill O'Brien, have not been allowed. Is that in the end good advice when you're talking about an 18-year-old transitioning from high school to college to ease them into that?
As a reporter, when I was a reporter, I hated it. Hated it.
Yeah.
I
thought you're on the other side now.
I've ever heard of in my life. Now, as I've kind of stepped back from that, I get it. I get it. But I get it only if they're doing something in that freshman year to help educate them, to help get them ready for that sophomore year. If they're just doing it just so they can buy themselves time and hope they don't say something stupid, I don't know that they're doing this athlete any service. It's kind of like the coaches who ban Twitter or ban Facebook and do it but don't educate them at all. So what exactly are you doing? You're just saying, okay, in 4 to 6 months, you're going to be no better educated than you were at this point. Now just go for it. But during the season, I just don't have to deal with you. After the season, whatever, it doesn't matter. So, you know, if they're taking that, you know, they do it here at Florida State, and they do a lot of, you know, at Alabama, and they say you cannot talk to the freshman, even if the freshman scores 6 touchdowns. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not going to happen.
Right.
But if they're using that year to work with that freshman, to let them know this is how you conduct a press conference, this is how you dress, this is how you act, this is how you compose yourself, then I see it. You know, again, as a reporter, I hated it. I thought it was the worst thing I've ever seen. Because you want that interview. Your viewers want to hear from the freshman. Mm-hmm. They want to hear from them, especially if they're a key player on the team. But as long as they're educating them and using that year the right way, it's not a bad thing. I think it actually could benefit them in the end.
And that is what's been done here in the past. They have actually taken that freshman year and helped educate them along the way and talk to them about how to go about doing it. How do clients find you?
Two ways. First, we find them by just, you know, beating them over the head with it, hopefully. But a lot of times, it's word of mouth. So, you know, the schools that we work with are usually our best advocates. You know, I actually talked to them on the phone today, University of Michigan, if I could put them on the payroll somehow, because they are such great advocates of ours, because we've worked with them for many, many years in all sports, not just football, with all their student athletes. And they've told everybody about us. And so usually through word of mouth, you know, we all have our alma maters that, you know, we've worked with. But having the opportunity to work with athletes' performance every year. So we work with the NFL Combine rookies. And when we're done with them, a lot of times they'll go back to their school and say, you know, we never had this while I was in school. You guys may want to bring them in. And that's kind of spilled out even into the professional ranks, where we've been able to do some pro teams because of that. So I think now, because social media is such a huge part of every student athlete's life, and not just football, I mean, the wrestling team and the field hockey team can get the university in just as much trouble as a football player can. So how do you help them? And I think when they're the schools who are really into the life skills aspect of their athletes are the ones who then start to reach out and have done a good job of finding us. Or somebody will say, hey, you may want to call this school. I used to work there. That's another way people will find us is, you know, we worked with them at one school. They move on to another school and tell somebody, and so we end up at their new school also. So it's a lot of word of mouth, but we've got some really good advocates out there for us.
Lee Gordon, 180 Communications, thank you so much for the time and what I consider to be a very intriguing conversation.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon.
Lee Gordon, 180 Communications. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.